23rd, 1920.
And could you please provide a brief overview of your military career?
I was in the Royal Canadian Air Force from in 1944-1945 as a nursing sister. I served in Canada, in Ontario, and briefly on the prairie. Nursing sisters in the Air Force were some 800 in number, but we didn't have the opportunity to get overseas to the same degree that Army nursing sisters did, because the demand was for services that we made available to young aircrew who were training to become aircrew on primarily prairie stations. They picked the prairie because of its flatness and learning to be aircrew, that was a safety factor. We primarily dealt with infectious diseases because we had a lot of young airmen from various countries that were part of the Commonwealth, and they succumbed to a number of our communicable diseases that were not common in their countries. And then, of course, we were there in case of emergency and that kind of thing.
And when did...
After leaving the service, I went to university, and in 1947, I had the opportunity of joining the Air Force Reserve. There was a squadron in Vancouver, 442 Squadron, and they wanted a nursing sister. And actually, I was the first reserve nursing sister in Canada, because it was a new when I say area, that is not really what I want to say. The demand only existed after the war, when the reserve squadrons expanded, and I served in the reserve from 1947 to 60. And in 1956, I went to France to an Air Force station. I was there for approximately 2 years as a nursing sister. We were relieving the permanent force nurses for vacations and other reasons for the replacement.
So you enlisted in 1944, is that right? And what was your motivation to join?
Everybody was doing.
How old were you?
I was 23.
And what did your training consist of? Because you didn't have any previous, did you have previous nursing experience before you joined?
Oh, you had to be. Yes, oh, you okay. had to be a registered nurse, registered in one of the provinces in Canada. To go into the armed forces as a nursing sister. That was obligatory.
Okay. And where did you get your training?
I trained at the Toronto Western Hospital.
And outside, what training, when you joined, was there any additional training that was provided for you?
Oh yes, we did have training in Air Force regulations. No, I would say we had an orientation program, and I went to Toronto. That's where the training took place in Ontario, and it was about a 3-week program, learning about rules and regulations, and we got some background as to the conditions that their crew could face when they were flying, decompression and getting into the, you know, the Air Force, the decompression chambers. It just as a general orientation to what you might encounter as a result of the Air Force, of air crew running into problems in the air. And then we were available on the stations to act in an emergency capacity. And if each Air Force station had a sick parade every day, and the airmen and officers, they could come to the hospital for the, to see the physician, and you were part of that team.
What station on the prairies were you?
I was just outside Winnipeg.
And could you tell me a little bit more about your role and what you did on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I, it was a very short period there. Most of my, my nursing experience was in Ontario, at a state of Fengal and St. Thomas, and at Air Force Head, the hospital at Rockcliffe, which was the chief military hospital for the Air Force in Canada at that time. You're asking me what our responsibilities were? Well, if we had patients, it was very similar to the care that you would give to a patient in hospital, depending on the condition. You were there for the sick parades. You took your turn on call for emergencies, and if an emergency came in, you went with the medical officer and other members of the air rescue service to a crash site if you knew where the crash was.
Did you have a lot of experience, or did you have a lot of experiences with crash sites?
Not a great number. The highest number probably was on the stations on the prairie. Well, it, there were other Air Force stations across Canada where pilots, air crew were trained, but the largest number, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba all had several Air Force, because they had what they called the Commonwealth Training Plan, and they were young airmen from the Commonwealth countries, Australia, New Zealand, all the countries that were part of the empire then.
And how many women were, on that?
Oh, well, it depended on the size of the station. On a regular, a small station, there might be four. At Rockcliffe, which was a, had a hospital, a fairly large hospital, there were probably 20, 25.
And how many nurses were on the side?
We worked 8-hour shifts. So it depended on the size of the hospital. There were probably... you know, if you had 24 and divide that, that would be 8 nurses on each. Well, you wouldn't have as many nurses at night, but your largest component of time is from 8 to 4, because that's when, you know, procedures and, are done for patients. So you need more during the day. Then 4 to 12, there were fewer, probably 2 on each depending on the size of the hospital, on each ward, and at night probably 1. And then we had also medical attendants, both male and female, who had some training to be medical attendants, and they were on duty with us also.
What was the chance of you being called over to, you mentioned that the Army nurses were predominantly overseas, what were the a chance that you could be
not that late. I think out of the 800 nursing sisters in the Air Force, only about 60 got overseas.
Would you have gone?
Oh, for sure, yes.
what, at 23, was that just as you had become a registered nurse, or had you been
I worked as a head nurse for about 8 months in the hospital where I trained at Honor Western.
And did you have any motivations, or did you want to join the Army as soon as war broke out, or from the military Air Force?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I applied for the Army. And I, when I was a teenager, I had a bad accident, which involved my left elbow. And I had limited movement in my left arm. And I went through all the testing procedures, including the medical. And the physician, the Army physician who examined me, turned me down because of my arm. She said, there's a chance of you developing arthritis. And I said, well, you know, I'll sign anything. I'm not about arthritis. Anyway, I didn't pass the medical. But I thought, well, I'll try the Air Force, and I had no difficulty. They didn't question it.
Did you have anybody else in your family that was in the military?
No, I just had an uncle who was in the First World War, but I was an only child. I didn't have any siblings.
What in Canada, and especially in the Prairies, what was the atmosphere and attitude like with concern about the invasion or Canada being at war, as far as we can remember?
Well, there was great support. No, I don't think there was any concern. Probably on the West Coast, because the Japanese were sending over balloons, and they were landing on the West Coast. And I can remember once being on a trip from Winnipeg to Ottawa, and we were carrying these. They'd been picked up, and they, in those days, of course, the planes only had enough fuel to fly for about 8 hours. And it took that, well, no, it would be 8 hours, probably 5 hours, to fly from Vancouver to Edmonton, and then same time from Edmonton to Calgary, because they only went under 100 miles an hour. So you'd have three changes, and I can remember flying from, as I say, from Winnipeg to Ottawa, and we had these balloons on board, and they weren't quite sure what purpose they served, but they had been examined on the West Coast, and they were to be taken to a research center in Ottawa for further examination.
And when did you head over to France? You were mentioning the
Sorry?
After the war.
Yes.
What happened with you? Where did you go?
Well, I worked in a veterans hospital outside Montreal, Sedan de Bellevue, for 2 or 3 months. And then I came out to BC. And because I knew I wanted to go to the University of British Columbia. And my home was in Ontario, in Toronto. And I enrolled at UBC in the fall of 46.
Just going back to the Veterans Hospital, what did you do there?
Well, we had a lot of veterans who had been repatriated from Europe, with long-term health problems.
Psychiatric?
Yes, there was a large psychiatric component, and fractures, neurological disorders, injuries that had occurred as a result.
Was that difficult to see after being on?
Yes. Mind you, if you've been in nursing, you see this as part of a nursing experience. So, you know, it wasn't, other than the fact that they were young men.
And the number of them, I can imagine.
But they went to see military hospitals across Canada. Montreal, Toronto, Manitoba, Alberta, and British Columbia.
Did you have a specified field in nursing?
Did I have?
Like a specified field? I know that Jean, for example, was psychiatric. Did you have a field that you concentrated on?
Well, primarily administration. I became a head nurse when I graduated.
Okay.
And then I went into the field of public health. In the early 50s, and I was in public health for most of my career. I went to the University of New York and obtained a master's degree in administration. So then I was in administrative positions in public health. And then in 1969, I was offered a position in Ontario to head a program that was evolving. In that era, nursing programs were moving from the hospital into educational institutions, because the tradition had been for nurses to train in the hospital over a 3-year period. And this was a new venture. And I was there for 6 or 7 years. And then I went to Toronto and took a position as the director of public health nursing in a health unit in Toronto. And I retired from there.
And when you were in Winnipeg, then you were also in a head nurse position. Or when you joined the military, did you?
You mean the events?
Because you were a head nurse outside of the military.
That had no bearing on
influence on.
No,
you had to work
no.
your way up
no,
as well.
No.
And
the fact that you were a nurse was what was recognized by the armed forces.
Okay. Did you have this particular uniform?
Yes. That was benefit. I can probably show you a picture. I was getting this material ready for a friend of mine. Very for sure.
Sorry, you were saying?
I probably had a more varied service experience, nursing service experience, in the reserve because we formed a medical unit, and I think we had about 40-odd nurses. The reserve sort of forged ahead in the 50s. And to gain experience, we often went to the States to work with American forces to various stations in the United States. I'm very familiar with these hospitals where the service personnel are being sent as a result of the war in Iraq because they existed. And they had a very sophisticated method of dealing and treating service personnel who were injured. They could admit 500 patients in a day and discharge 50% of them the next day. They had it was highly sophisticated. And we learned a great deal. And then on other occasions, we went with them to Europe and flew patients back from the same hospital where Iraqi, the hospital called Landstuhl in Germany, where they're sent now from Iraq and then back to the United States.
And so that's when you were in France as well, did you say?
When I was in the reserve.
Oh, okay.
And then during that period, I went to France for 2 years at one of the Air Force stations and worked there as a nursing sister. And we often did air evacuations there.
You were mentioning that picture about the publicity stunt.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a lot of that?
Oh, Not a lot, really. No.
Did you notice special recruits made towards women to try and get them involved in nursing? As you were saying, it wasn't as popular or it was just starting to take off?
No, I wouldn't think there was any connection there.
Is it trying to get more
You mean women in the service or women in nursing?
Women in the service, pardon me.
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's any shortage of applicants.
What about making it, did you find that there was, with women being from the First World War to the Second World War, a change in the attitude towards women joining the military that you noticed at all?
Well, you see, in the First World War, the only women in the services were nursing sisters, and there were about over 3,000 women joined the army as nursing sisters. And that actually goes back to the First World War. That's the First World War was that number. And then there were nursing sisters in the Boer War in South Africa, and there were the first nursing sisters where the Riel Rebellion in 1885 at Batoche. But they were civilian nurses who agreed to go and assist with the care of the Canadian military force at the time who were fighting at the time of the Riel Rebellion. But that was the first, 1885, and then the Boer War in 1992, and then the First World War.
So did you notice any difference between the civilians being incorporated into kind of a part of the military at all? or was there any social attitudes that you remember about?
Well, there certainly wasn't in the Second World War, and I can't speak for the First World War. No, I think they had many, many applicants. It wasn't a problem with recruiting nurses.
What about social attitudes towards women that were joining the military?
Well, I suppose in the First World War, there probably was some resistance, but I wouldn't say in the Second World War. I mean, if you were going to have a military force and they were going to be exposed to danger and suffer as a result of their injuries, somebody had to look after them. The very first nursing sisters in the Army went overseas in 1940, in June of 1940, which was, only about 6 months after the war. Had been declared, or Canada had declared that.
Do you think that the military opened up any opportunities for you as a woman in that time period that may not have been accepted?
Well, certainly university. I don't say that I wouldn't have gone to university, but it certainly made it much more available.
How so?
Well, your tuition was paid for. You've got $65 a month for your room and board, and it costs what you buy. These were Army camps.
Yeah.
And we were rural barracks, Army barracks that had been converted. But you had one bathroom in the barrack block for 18 people. You shared a room with one other person, or sometimes, depending on the size of the room, two. You didn't have many clothes, so you didn't need a lot of cupboard space. Your expectations were a lot different than they are now.
Was the university dormitory conditions similar to that of what you've been used to on the prairies?
Well, you see, in the small stations, the nursing sisters would have had quarters in the hospital. There would be a section, and depending on how many nursing sisters were there, you'd each have your own room. And there probably was a little kitchenette. You prepare your own meals, you ate in the officer's mess. And there was probably a little lounge area. But in
is that consistent with your experience? You had your own room?
You had your own room, or perhaps a room with another nurse.
Were the doctors residing in the hospital as well?
Well, yes, the interns would be, but they had their own area.
So I would imagine you could gather a close bond with the women that you were.
Oh, very much so. I saw two friends when I was in Toronto recently, and we graduated 62 years ago. No, the bond is, it never, we were so close for 3 years working, got very little time off, maybe the equivalent of a half day a week, and you had to be in at 10 o'clock at night, so you couldn't go too far afield, and of course training during the war years, things were restricted also. But the bond is all very, very close for nurses who graduated from hospital programs.
How was the interaction between the nurses and the doctors? I'm guessing they're predominantly male at that time.
Yes.
Yeah. What was the interaction like with them?
Well, I think they understood the problems that we faced because they were, sort of disciplined in a way. They were interns and they had to work according to a schedule. Often they would be working 12 or 14 hours a day, depending on the demands. And they were accountable to the physician who was the head of that service. They rotated from surgical floors to medical floors to obstetrics to pediatrics, because they had to have experience in all those areas, as we did, to write your nursing registration examination. They had to account When you went to write the examinations, you had to take with you the experiences that you had as a nursing student, and those were reviewed. And if you were short in any area, then you had to make that up before you could write your registered nursing exams.
So there's a lot of mutual respect between the doctors.
Yes, I would say there was. Yes. They got $25 a month. Oh no, that was fourth floor. We got nothing.
Oh.
Not a cent. Now some hospitals gave maybe $5 to $20, but response in my hospital was the fact that they gave us a superb education.
How did you make pay for things?
Well, you got it from your family. You earned it before you went into it. But you see, in those days, a cup of coffee was 5 cents, an ice cream cone was 5 cents, a chocolate bar was 5 cents. And of course, we got our meals and our accommodation, and we didn't really have that much free time. When you work, you were on duty at 7 in the morning, and you were supposed to get 2.5 hours off a day, half an hour for lunch, and 2 hours for rest. You know, often you didn't get it, and you'd be there, you'd have to go back after your hours off, and you might not get off till 7:30 or 8. So there wasn't much time.
What did you do on your time off?
Well, my family were living in Toronto, so I went home. You might go to a movie. You might go to, there'd be calls for nurses to come down to some event in Toronto, a military establishment. They'd like to have some new students. To meet the young airmen or army or whatever who were in attendance at these dances.
And what was the protocol for nursing sisters, and were they allowed to date airmen and military officers?
It was frowned upon. No, it was done pretty well in secret. Mind you, other than in the hospital as patients, or someone who, an airman who was working in a medical, you know, capacity as a medical aide, your chances of meeting other ranks were minimal. You ate in the officer's mess. You attend the social activities in the officer's mess, so you primarily met officers. Well, you went in as a flying officer, a pilot officer, and that was equivalent to a second lieutenant. Then, after 6 months, all being well, if you commit any serious errors, you became a flying officer, and that was equivalent to a lieutenant.
Did you ever work your way up to?
You could. And some of the nurses who'd been in longer were flight lieutenants, and there was the odd squadron leader, and they were in charge of maybe a hospital, a military hospital, such as the one at Rockland. And the same would have been true for the Army and the Navy.
So a squadron leader, is that equivalent to?
Is equivalent to a major in the Army.
And what rank did you finish?
As a flight lieutenant. No, I didn't. You see, became a flight lieutenant when I was in the reserve.
Oh, okay. You're in the reserve then. How did your experience in the reserves differ from your experience during the war?
Well, of course, it was a limited experience compared to the time you were in the service, because we met on a Thursday night, mm-hmm. and we met out at what is the Air Force Station, or the now the airport in Vancouver. It was called Sea Island, and that was part of that is now Richmond.
Okay.
And there was an Air Force Station there at Sea Island. So we were out there, and we would have a sick parade on the Sunday. And then as we expanded in numbers, then we had teaching responsibilities to teach the new nurses who were had joined the reserve. And the polio was rampant in that era. And sometimes we would fly to various places in B.C. to pick up polio patients who were brought to that group of treatment.
So you met once a week for the
Thursday night, and that was usually classes, an educational component. The practical was on Sunday out at Seattle. And we had demonstrations of loading patients on aircraft and various things that you need to consider when you're transporting patients.